Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. As we've learned over and over on this program, the music that we listen to as teenagers stays with us throughout our lives. Now we know that it even stays with those who suffer from dementia, as shown in a new documentary being premiered this week in New York called Alive Inside. You might already have seen part of it. A clip featuring an Alzheimer's patient named Henry recently went viral and as of today has been viewed more than 6 million times on YouTube. The film follows social worker Dan Cohen and his music and memory project. Dan is here with me in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here, John.
So, in short, what does music and memory aim to do?
It aims to take advantage of the power of personalized music to reach people who may have some form of dementia, or who are depressed, or who are living either at home alone and isolated, or in a some sort of care facility, to improve their spirit and their lives.
Mm-hmm. And this film, Alive Inside, was made by Michael Rosato Bennett. He followed you around. As I understand it, it was just supposed to be like a quick little thing, and then he ended up following you for a year?
Yes, or more. Uh-huh.
And so you've been fighting for a long time to get kind of visibility, support to do this, to bring music to these elderly patients. Then suddenly a little clip of this movie goes viral.
Yes.
And you've got like 6 million people.
Yes.
In a little more than a week.
Yes.
Watching Henry. Tell me about Henry. Where did you find him, and what happened when you first brought music to him?
Okay. Well, I was working with Cobble Hill Health Center in Brooklyn, and I say to them, well, let's find some individuals here who may have dementia, who could maybe agitated or isolated, and let's find out what their favorite music is and try that and see how that works. And with Henry, Henry's a gentleman who really may have had his head down sort of on in front of him on a little table in front, quiet, not saying much. But when we gave him his music, he just throw his arms in the air and starts singing the words to the song to almost perfect rhythm.
It's a startling transformation to watch during the course of the film, because Henry is, as you say, he's got his head, you know, he doesn't even lift his head up. He's just kind of slumped in his chair. His daughter comes to see him. He doesn't recognize her, doesn't really communicate. You put this headset on him, and you've got one of those little iPod shuffles.
That's correct.
How did you know what to play for him?
Well, we ask their family.
Okay.
So Henry's fortunate. He has loved ones who can provide us that information, and what he liked when he was young, and what he was singing in the house, and what they were listening to as a family.
So this is a little bit of the song that this Brooklyn nursing home resident Henry was listening to in his headphones in this viral video. The song is by Walter Hawkins and the Love Center Choir. That is Walter Hawkins, a veteran gospel group, with Going Up to Yonder. That's the name of the song that my guest, Dan Cohen, played for this nursing home resident named Henry.
Yes.
So you found out this is the kind of thing he likes, and then you put the headset on him, and do you press the button, you hit play, and what happens?
And then he starts enjoying the music. It goes to a part, even though much of the memory might be a short-term memory is ravaged and dissipated. Long-term memory, memories from your youth of the music you knew, is pretty much preserved. Mm-hmm. So you can reach that despite whatever limitations cognitively you have. And so that really is sort of a path to someone's being and self and enjoyment.
And then remarkably, when he takes the headphones off, the filmmaker who's been following you around and making this movie, Michael Rosato Bennett, actually starts to interview Henry, who, having been unresponsive just a few minutes ago, is now able to answer questions. Listen to this.
Henry.
Yeah?
Do you like the iPod? Do you like the music you're hearing?
Yes.
Tell me about your music.
Well, I don't have one, I mean.
Do you like music?
Yeah, I'm crazy about music. And you play beautiful music, beautiful sound.
Did you play music when you were? Did you like music when you were young?
Yes. I went to big dances and things.
What was your favorite music when you were young?
Well, Cab Calloway was my number one band guy. I liked.
What's your favorite Cab Calloway song?
Oh, I'll be home there for Christmas. You can count and plan on me with plenty of snow.
That is just an amazing transformation that happens right there in front of the cameras for this documentary film, Alive Inside. You heard Michael Rosato Bennett. He's being told off camera, just ask him yes or no questions.
Yes.
But then when he departs from that and asks some like more complex questions, this is the response he gets. This man starts singing.
Yes.
This is part of the viral video that is online. You can watch it on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Now, Dan, is this a typical response or is this really unusual?
Well, what's so interesting, so we now have this operating in 50 nursing homes in 15 states and Canada, and every one of them will report that with their residents who have dementia, this is working. They say the impact, if somebody doesn't talk very much, they end up talking more. If someone's not physically active, they're moving around more, and if someone is depressed, they feel better. So this just somehow it's working, and it's not just this is not a one-off thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're speaking with Dan Cohen, social worker and executive director of the Music and Memory Project, and joining us here in the studios as well is Ann Wyatt. She's a residential care policy and strategy consultant for the New York City chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Ann, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So the idea of music therapy, not really totally new. I mean, we see Connie Tomaino in this film,
and
she's been pioneering this for like 20 years or more.
Yes, indeed.
How is Dan's project different?
Well, I think that what Dan brought to all of us is the notion that personalized music can be meaningful for somebody with dementia in a residential care setting, and that it's really possible. It lightens everything up in the nursing home for the person with dementia and for the people around them, the caregivers, the family members, everyone mm-hmm. around them. It just changes things. And I think that I was very struck as I watched other people watching the film last night that I think many people don't believe it's possible for that level of comfort or pleasure to still be available to somebody who has that much dementia. And the movie and Dan's faith in it really has made that possible. It has the potential for changing people's expectations. It doesn't take away from the pain of dementia or the loss for family members, but it does manage to bring comfort in that moment, which is a huge thing to be able to have.
Mm-hmm. One of the people we see in the film is Dr. Oliver Sacks,
yes.
who explains that, you know, there is no music center in the brain. There's no one place that can be damaged and therefore lost. Music affects the brain throughout.
Yes.
So people who have Alzheimer's, dementia of one form or another, can still access that music.
Yes, and I think an important point with Henry as Louise, who is the director of recreation at Cobble Hill, where he resides, talks about the fact that when Henry goes to a regular music program, he'll sit there, you know, and kind of tap his fingers or his feet a little bit. He enjoys it. But it's when his own favorite music comes on that this transformation occurs. And I think that's a really important piece that Dan has really brought to us, is that it's the personalization of it that makes mm-hmm. the difference.
And how unusual is it in a communal setting like a nursing home or an advanced care facility to get that kind of individual attention?
It's very hard. I think it's two things. It's hard because, of course, there are a lot of people to care for and much to be done. But I think what Dan has brought to this is the notion that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really makes the difference.
Well, in this clip from the film Alive Inside, the documentary by Michael Rosato Bennett, where he follows Dan around for a year, we hear the voices of a Brooklyn nursing home administrator named Tony Lewis and Dr. Bill Thomas, a gerontologist, talking about this issue.
For the staff in a big system to be able to focus entirely on one single individual and identify what their needs are musically, and to be able to work out and present and produce something that's unique to that individual, really, to me, goes to the heart of person-centered care.
In today's system, I can sit down and write out a script for $1,000 a month antidepressant. No problem. Nobody asks any questions. If I want to provide a person with a $40 personal music system, that will take a lot of work.
And that, Dan Cohen, is exactly what you're trying to do, to get people to buy these relatively inexpensive music systems for people at the, what is it, 3,000, 6,000? How many nursing homes are
actually
there?
Actually, 16,000.
16,000 in the U.S. Mm-hmm. There's also a clip in the movie where you're talking to two separate administrators, and they're both, you know, pushing back. They're like, yeah, we really, you know, we can't do this. They do have concerns, perhaps justifiable ones. I mean, how sort of repeatable is the Henry experience, the putting on the headphones, getting, you know, someone who's been unresponsive to suddenly be there and alert and in the moment?
It's very repeatable. I mean, right now we have it a best practice approach to doing this. So any nursing home, we know that, in fact, for the staff, it makes their job easier in a sense when someone's more cooperative and attentive and engaged. And the nursing home, you know, it's a morale lifter for the staff because it's a repeatable thing. And so you can apply this across many. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain, in other words, with
right. music. So how do you respond to people who have concerns? I mean, how do you address them?
Well,
the
top concerns are the iPads are going to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a way to secure them and log them in and out. And the second concern is staff is really busy and they don't have time for something else. But what we're finding, and Luis also Dueño has learned, and they have over 80 iPods, that in fact, because residents are more cooperative, things get done more quickly. So therefore, staff isn't spending as much time doing the bathing and the dressing and the feeding. So it becomes more efficient also for the facility. And that, you know, administrators appreciate that.
The film Alive Inside, which is Michael Rosato Bennett's documentary about Dan Cohen's music and memory project, has a sold-out screening tomorrow at the Rubin Museum, but there will be three more screenings on Saturday at 11:30, 2:30, and 5:30. It's a remarkable film, and after each screening, there'll be a Q&A with neuroscience and Alzheimer's specialists. Ann Wyatt is here with me in the studio, Dan Cohen as well. And Soundcheck listeners, if you have a question or story about music and dementia, you can leave a comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, or call us, 212-433-WNYC. And Sylvie is on the line with us from Staten Island. Sylvie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, it's Celia, actually.
And Celia, sorry about that.
Hi, that's all right. Thank you so much for having such a wonderful program. I wanted to comment that my mother was sick for about 16 years with advancing dementia of multiple kinds, and she was an opera singer and played piano and sang in many different languages. And even after she lost the ability to speak English, she could sit down at the piano and play and sing in several languages and really flawlessly. So it would serve programs in nursing homes well to provide lessons and practice time for you know, for patients who have had the ability to play and still want to express themselves musically, because that form of communication lasts really to the end of the disease.
Right. Celia, just to let you know, Anne's sitting here shaking her head vigorously up and down. So, Anne, you've had some experience with this?
Oh, yes. We've heard many stories of people who have who are musicians and who retain that ability and that connection long after many other connections have been lost. So it's good to have it confirmed.
But probably not a whole lot of places have access to pianos, and that's not as simple as a $40 iPod.
Well, right, although I would say probably most facilities have them, but it is really important to make the connection, to know the person that you have with you, and to help, to believe, first of all, that it's possible, and then to help it happen. Bring them to the piano. Spend some time with them.
Now, there's also a moment for me, one of the most startling moments in this documentary, Alive Inside, is when the filmmaker shows us a map of the world with some of the countries colored in. These are the countries where 20% or more of the population is over 65.
Yes.
And it's like Northern Europe and Japan. The next map is what your children's world will look like, and virtually all of the map has been colored in. You know, we are undergoing, whether we know it or not, realize it or not, a kind of real change in the demographics that we're living in. And it seems like, you know, part of what Dan is doing and what you're trying to do with, is to kind of prepare for the coming wave of people who are aging into this.
Very much so.
What about, Dan, the idea of, you know, these are people who did not grow up with technology. Is putting on headphones and, you know, having a little shiny disc in their hand, is it, you know, kind of unnerving
to
someone?
That's a great question. Well, sure. The whole idea of this is to just take the whole technology question out of the picture. What music do you like? Here it is. So they're not, if they can't operate it, fine. They clip on the back and they have the headphones on and they're enjoying it. Sometimes they don't like the feel of the headphones, but so we can have a speaker next to them, you know, playing the music. But the headphones are best because it takes out all the ambient noise, especially in a nursing home. You may be sharing a room. There's stuff going on, and so that allows for real pristine, you know, depth of music experience.
Now, one of the women that you meet during the course of the film is Mary Lou.
Yes.
Mary Lou has early onset Alzheimer's.
I know she was diagnosed 4 years before that screening or the filming.
Mm-hmm. And when we first see her, she is disoriented, obviously confused. But she's just put on your iPod, and it's playing one of her favorite songs, the Beach Boys' I Get Around.
That's the best thing I've ever had, this thing. I don't know how to say it. It's just, it can't get away from me if I'm in this place.
Yeah. I thought you were going to grow wings.
I was trying.
That is Mary Lou talking to the filmmaker, Michael Rosato Bennett, who has made this documentary, Alive Inside, about Dan Cohen's Music and Memory Project. And then, Dan, we see you sitting down with Mary Lou, kind of playing her little snippets of songs. You're making a playlist.
I'm just making a playlist, you know, because she can't name the tunes, but she can listen and tell me, yeah, no. You know, so we'd go through each one, and she's sort of thumbs up, thumbs down.
And it's like, name that tune. I mean, yeah. Hey Jude, you know, Hey Jude. And she knows what it is. I guess that's simple because the title's right there. But, I mean, literally, like, you don't get past a bar of the music before she's, that one. I know that one.
She's right there with the music. Yeah.
Let's take another call. Katie, on the line with us from New Jersey. Katie, I understand you actually worked in a nursing home. Is that right?
Yes, in our teenage years, my brother and I, my mother was a charge nurse in the nursing home, and it was kind of interesting because on Saturdays and Sundays, they would have programs for various generational music. Of course, in the 60s, you were going back to music from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, that type of thing. And my mother was always so excited because, as the nurse, or the head nurse there, because so many people, their whole attitude, their interest in life that day and everything would just be so much more exciting or vital and energetic. And she was like, I wish we could do this every day.
Hmm.
So it's kind of nice to hear that someone's really picked up on this. I'm really excited about it.
And if we did have that sort of anecdotal evidence as far back as the 60s, why has it taken so long for this kind of realization to sink in?
Well, I think music has always been popular in long-term care facilities for the obvious reason that you can have a musician come and have a large room full of people, and, you know, that always works. I think that it's technology that has made it really brought the possibility of the depth of individualization.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what's made a big difference here. And, of course, we've learned more about it, too. I mean, bridging that gap to the notion that a personalized playlist, if you will, can return someone to themselves so deeply is more recent information.
Right. Let me give the last word on this subject to Gladys, who is calling in from Weehawken, New Jersey. Gladys, does anything about this conversation surprise you?
None at all. I mean, the problem is, as I said to the screener, that most Americans isolate themselves from older people the minute they begin to not be as youthful as they would want them to be. Everybody gets old and everybody dies. I had my parents living with us for 14 years. They were fine, and I saw the gradual beginning of dementia from my father. He, at the end of his life, he thought I was his mother or his daughter or his sister or his wife. It didn't matter, but the point is that it's important for people who are at that age not to be shoved into a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Because my children are grateful to me eternally for having been around their grandparents.
Well,
and
what I think...
And my father would sing songs. He would leave. They had a special apartment upstairs in our house. He would escape, come to our kitchen, appear, and start reciting a poem. And if he got it wrong, he'd start over. That's when he was fighting. He was trying to remember.
Right. Well, I think that is one of the points of the documentary is that, you know, these individualized music programs really can bring the person out who otherwise Dan would have a difficult time doing that. Well, first of all, thank you for joining us, and best of luck with the Music and Memory Project.
Thank you so much.
Dan Cohen is the subject of the film Alive Inside. Three more screenings on Saturday at the Rubin Museum. Ann Wyatt, also with us, residential care policy and strategy consultant for the New York chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you.
Singer Glenn Campbell announced last year that he has Alzheimer's. The 75-year-old performed at this year's Grammy Awards and received a Lifetime Achievement Award. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, Joe Strummer is the subject of a new book and documentary called Let Fury Have the Hour by Antonino D'Ambrosio. Antonino joins us to talk about the socially conscious punk rocker. And flamenco guitarist Pedro Soler teams up with his son, the avant-garde cellist Gaspar Claus, for a live performance. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck.